Amen. Thank you, Laura, very much indeed. Thank you for your very kind invitation to come and speak to you this morning. I'm thrilling to be here and to see so many friends as well, people I haven't seen for a little while. So it's really good to be here. Is it all right if I stay here? I seem to be a long way away from you there, so I much prefer to be here. I've been asked to talk about George Müller. Müller, I suppose, for those of you who are German students, because there's two dots above the U, Müller. But I'll say Müller, because it's easier to say. And to particularly talk about George Müller and living by faith and his life of faith. So let's read just a few verses from Scripture. Perhaps we'll turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, if you using the Bibles in your seats, then it's page 1209, I think. Thanks. Let's just read a few verses about faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen is not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to this city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead. Poor old chap. Fancy being called as good as dead. So from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. It's tremendous passage that. It's a tremendous chapter, if you want to read it, just about the heroes of faith. And one could have gone on and read the whole chapter, really, but just those first few verses. And that first verse is a fabulous definition of what faith actually is. It says, faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. So if somebody says to you, what is faith? Then you have a biblical definition there in verse 1 of chapter 11. Faith is being sure of what you hope for. It's having that assurance. It's knowing. If you have the King James Version, then the King James Version says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The substance of things hoped for. And actually, if you're a scholar of Greek, then the word that's used for substance in this passage here is only used in two or three other occasions in the whole of Scripture. And it's used to describe the relationship of Jesus to his Father. In other words, God the Father is the foundational reality whom you can't see or experience or touch or feel. And yet the Lord Jesus is the substance of God the Father. He is the visible reality of God. We can see Him. We could have touched Him. We've heard Him in every way. And so substance implies that faith is not something that's airy-fairy or something that's pie in the sky. There's nothing vague about this word faith, even though it's one of God's big words. It's actually a down-to-earth word that is about something substantial. It's the real McCoy. It's as real as if I could touch it. Can I touch you? Is that okay? I know you're real. I can see you. I can hear you laugh. I can touch you. I can feel your shoulder. I know that you're real. You have substance. And you might think, well, faith doesn't have any substance. But actually, the Bible says that faith is as substantial as anything that you can see or hear or feel or touch. And it's the visible reality, the word that's used to say this is the visible reality. This is Jesus, who was the very substance of God. There was nothing in God that was not in Jesus, and nothing in Jesus that was not in God. He was the exact representation of His being. All the fullness of God rested in Him. Those are the words that the Bible talks about. And it says here that faith is the substance of things, the conviction and assuredness of the things that you hope for. And hope is not a vague word either. We tend to use it today as a vague word. We hope that something will happen. But actually, biblical hope is future faith. Future faith. Faith for the future. In other words, our hope is as sure as our faith is today, because it's future faith. And if faith is substantial, then hope is substantial as well. And faith is about believing that God is who He says He is, and that He'll do the things that He says He'll do, because He's real. And faith is for now, and hope is for future. And then the other part of this passage is faith is being certain of what we don't see. George Muller once said that faith comes into its own when sight stops. Faith comes into its own when sight stops. Actually, if you see something, you don't need faith, because it's there. You can see it. I don't need faith to believe that you exist, because I can see that you exist. But if I had my eyes closed, I'd have to... Do you know what I mean? That faith is something different, but it's still something substantial. And it's about bringing things that are invisible to become visible. And that's what prayer in faith is about. It's actually believing that God will do something, or say something, or be something, even though you don't see the physical reality of it yet. And that's the story of George Muller. And it's an amazing story, and it's a story that is shot through this building and this church in its early days, because this was a daughter church of his church, the Bethesda Church in Bristol, just off Park Street. It's no longer there, but it was there until the 1940s. And George Muller established this work here and preached here regularly. But he was an amazing man, and it's an amazing story, a story of faith. George Muller was not always a Christian. In fact, when he was a youth, he was a liar, a thief, a drunkard. He stole from his family, he stole from his friends. There wasn't, he says in his diaries, a gross sin into which he had not fallen. He was not a very pleasant person to know, and he was the bane of his father's life. What was his father to do with him? Well, his father decided to send him to university to read theology, on the basis that perhaps he would learn what it was to be good, and then he might be good, but he wasn't. He stole from his university friends, he went to a Lutheran church, he stole from the collection plate. There wasn't anything that this man didn't actually do. But there was a time when this man begun to be challenged by things of faith. It was a very faint stirring, but he'd begun to be challenged. And then he had a friend who invited him to a meeting. I suppose today you call it a house group, a home meeting. And when he went to this meeting, he heard for the first time people pray, as though they were praying to someone who really existed. And that was the first occasion that George Muller started to begin to understand something of the realities of faith. And he heard people pray with an amazing passion. He never heard it before. All he'd heard before was ritual prayers, but it just sent his heart thumping as he heard people with a passion for God praying to God as though God was real and their faith was real. And that deeply challenged him. And after a few days, he just came before God and said, God, I don't know, but if you exist, could you just show me? Could you speak to me? Could you show me that you exist? And if you do, I will serve you for the rest of my life. And at that moment, God came into George Muller's life, and George Muller knew without any shadow of a doubt that God was real. That God was real. And from that moment until the time that he died, he served God faithfully. He came to this country. He went via Tynmouth and Devon, but ended up in Bristol. And by the time he'd come to Bristol, he had established one key, important, biblical principle that every single one of us live by, and that is we live by faith. And George Muller was determined that in everything he would live by faith. Now, for many of us, living by faith is about answered prayer, it's about being faithful to God, it's about obedience and trusting in God and so on. But actually, for many of us, and also for me, for many years of my life, it was actually about, well, God, you can come into this part of my life, but that part of my life I'm in charge of. But George Muller was a different sort of man. He said, Lord, I want you to be in charge of every part of my life. And George Muller had nothing. Nothing at all. And he determined that without ever asking anyone ever, he would pray to God alone, that God would meet his every needs. Not just answers to prayer about his family and his wife and the work, but about the nuts and bolts of it as well, about the finances of that work. And so George Muller started to pray without ever telling anyone ever that he had daily financial needs. Lord, you know that I've got a farthing left, if you're old enough to remember what a farthing is. I've just got a farthing left. I've got nothing at all. Lord, would you just send me someone who will give me some money? And during his life, from the time that he started to live by faith until the time that he died, he received at 19th century prices in answer to prayer about £1.5 million. And that at today's prices, you have to multiply by 75, and that's £100 million. Without ever asking anyone ever for any money. He just prayed that God would provide for his every need. And it's significant that he started with nothing and he left in his will £162. But actually, at today's prices, £100 million passed through this man's hands. That's a significant thing. It passed through his hands. It didn't stay. It passed through his hands because God had given him a ministry. And that ministry was a fantastic ministry. And we're so privileged to live in a city that boasts people like George Muller and John Wesley and others as well, but George Muller particularly. Here was a man who believed that faith was something that you put into practice, you put it into action. And he said, I live by faith, not by sight. I believe, God, that you are going to meet my every need. And day by day by day, he spent hours just praying that God would provide for his every need. And sometimes it was tough. Sometimes it was difficult. Sometimes he was down to virtually nothing. Sometimes there was no food in the kitchen. And yet, God always came up with the finance that he needed. And so instead of living a life of fear and a life of anxiety, George Muller was known to be one of the most confident, assured, relaxed people that you could possibly know, because he put his trust in God, not in the world, not in salaries or employers, but he put his trust in God. And it's a tremendous story. And here was one man who not only believed by faith that God was able to answer prayer, but here was a man who believed in putting that into action day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. £100 million. It doesn't bear thinking about, does it? It's an amazing story. £100 million. And God called him to a ministry, a variety of ministries. God said, I want to use you. And so God used him in a variety of different ways. One of the most famous ways in which God used him was to establish a work for orphans, which we, I guess most of us will know about in Bristol, based on some rented houses in Wilson Street in St. Paul's originally, and then from 1849, the building of the Ashley Down homes that were finished in 1870. And those homes that are now the City of Bristol College are a visible manifestation of a God who answered prayer, because George Muller had nothing. And he prayed, God, would you help me? And God provided everything that was needed, not just the bricks and the mortar. He provided the windows free. He provided the staff who came. He provided the food in order that orphan children might be taken in and cared for by this man. And it was not him who provided for the orphans. It was God who provided for those orphan children. Just an amazing story. And he cared for 10,000 orphans during his lifetime. There were 18,500 orphans cared for over the lifetime of Muller's. But not just that. By 1880, he'd established about 80 schools all around the world, some in India, some in Spain, some in Italy, some in British Guiana, about 50 in England. He established a number of Sunday schools, a number of chapels up and down the land. He had supported monthly about 200 missionaries, including Hudson Taylor, who first opened up inland China. He was a man who really believed that God wanted to bless his people, and he was going to be an agent through prayer and through faith of seeking to secure those funds. And it's just an amazing story. And somebody said to George Muller on one occasion, he said, is there something special about you, Mr. Muller? Do you have a faith which is supernatural and different from the faith that we all have? And he said, well, I have a supernatural faith, but it actually isn't different from the faith that any one of us could exercise day by day as Christians. He said, it's no different. He said, I am no different. I'm just an ordinary man. I read the Bible. I believe in God's promises. I pray. I trust God. And God answers. What a challenge that is for all of us here, really. Here was a man who believed that God was able to answer prayer. Not only did he believe it, he proved it. I get lots of visitors to Bristol to hear something about George Muller, and I also get the privilege of speaking to lots of groups of people, many of whom are not Christians. And I went to one group, I can't say which group it was, but it was in Westbury-on-Trent in Bristol, and I was in full flow, and suddenly this lady stood up and she said, I don't believe you. She said, I don't believe in a word you're saying. And I sort of stopped and said, well, that's very interesting you should say that. Why don't you believe in what I'm saying? She said, well, it's just ridiculous. I just couldn't believe that there is a God who could do that. And I said, but actually, if you look around you, you can see the evidence of it. Where did the money come from? He had no benefactors to build these buildings. I can show you his letters. I can show you his diaries. I can introduce you to people who've been orphans, cared for by this man, and they all know something of what he did by faith. And she said, actually, it's not that I don't believe you. She said, I can't believe you. And that is the key difference in living a life of faith. It's not necessarily not being able to believe. It's actually not being willing to believe. It's about not being able and willing to believe that God is a God who can do this. And it may be that there's a number of us faced here with difficult decisions, difficult problems, maybe financial problems, maybe other problems. Do we believe that our God is big enough to be able to answer those particular prayers? And that's the challenge of faith. Living by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. We will walk by faith, not by sight. That's what God says very clearly to us in his word. Somebody once also said to George Muller, why are you doing this? Why is it you're caring for all these orphans? Why are you starting all these schools? Why are you supporting all these missionaries? Why are you doing it? Are you doing it in order that you might become famous? Are you doing it because you feel sorry for those orphan children? And George Muller replied this. He said, well, I am concerned about the dreadful circumstances that children are brought up in my country in the 19th century. He said, I also believe that somebody needs to do something about it. And it's the usual thing, isn't it? When you pray a prayer saying, Lord, would you send somebody to do something? He normally replies by saying, it's you. And similarly with George Muller. George Muller was called to care for those orphan children. He was also called to support missionaries all over the world. But actually, George Muller said, that's not the real reason why I'm doing it. He said, the real reason I'm doing it is to prove that God answers prayer. To prove that our God still hears prayer. To prove that faith works day by day, by day, by day. And that's what we still do, seek to do in Muller's today. There are plenty of needs, there are plenty of problems, there are plenty of difficulties that we seek to be one of the agencies that addresses. But actually the real reason why Muller's does what it does and why George Muller did what he did was not because he felt sorry for orphan children, although he did, but it was because he believed that God still answers prayer today, and he wanted to prove that day by day. And the evidence is there. You can actually go to Ashley Down, you can touch the buildings, and you can say, I know these buildings are real. They're not figments of the imagination. God provided these buildings. It was God who provided the finance that these buildings would be built. Somebody also said to George Muller, how is it you get your prayers answered? And I don't. How is it? What's the secret? What's the secret? And George Muller said three things. He said, firstly, you need to read and believe in God's promises, in his word. You need to read and believe in God's promises. And God's promises in the Bible are normally prefaced by the word I will. When God says, I will do something. I will, I will, I will. It's like a statement of a will, isn't it, really? But God's promises are there. I will, I will, I will. We need to read and to believe what God has actually said. So when we read on the passage here, by faith, nothing is impossible with God, do we believe that? Do we believe it? That's the challenge of faith. Do we really believe that nothing is impossible for God? Because if we really believe it, then there isn't anything that God can't do through prayer by faith, by one man praying or one woman praying. So we need to believe God's promises. Secondly, we need to be more like Jesus ourselves. We need to, in a sense, surrender and sacrifice ourselves in order that God may be preeminent in our lives, that we might be people whose will is subordinated to God's will. And he said, as we become people who allow God to become more, to Jesus to become more and us to become less, so we can see more and more answers to prayer, that the faith prayers that we pray will really get answered. So believing God's promises, becoming more like Jesus, and thirdly, and you're not going to like this one, he said, consider trials and problems a joy. Most of us here wonder what on earth we're reading when we read James, when he says, consider trials a joy, and when we read in 1 Peter about struggles and trials and temptations will come to us all. But George Muller said that faith is built, faith is strengthened, faith is increased. The more we put it into action and the more we experience trials and difficulties and problems, the more our faith will grow. And George Muller had a fantastic number of problems and difficulties that he was coping with day by day. There were hungry children to be fed. There were staff to be paid. There were bills to be paid. There was an expansion of the work to happen. Who was going to pay? God was going to provide the finance through one man's prayers, George Muller's prayers. And an amazing number of challenges to face came by George Muller all the time. He had challenges of health and all sorts. And yet, he said, my faith has been built up and grown from being like a tiny seed. You know, the Bible talks about faith being a mustard seed, into something which is really much, much bigger, a great faith, simply because it's born in the anvil or the crucible of problems and difficulties and trials and temptations. How can we get our prayers answered? Well, we need to to believe in God's promises and to trust in Him. We need to become more and more like Jesus, subordinating our will to His will. And thirdly, we need to just embrace and welcome trials and difficulties and problems in order that our faith might grow and might develop. £100 million. It's an amazing story. And just like our passage here in Hebrews says, and by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. That's true. And it applies to George Muller as well. He is dead. He died in 1898, more than 100 years ago. And yet the testimony of this man's life still speaks to us. But of course it still lives by faith in each one of us too. Every single one of us here is challenged to live a life of faith. Do we really trust in God? Do we really believe in His promises? Do we want to become more and more like Jesus? Do we really welcome the trials and difficulties and challenges and hurdles of a life of faith? But for every single one of us, there is that constant moving on to see our faith increase. The disciples said to Jesus, increase our faith. And Jesus said to them, oh, you of little faith. But actually the challenge is for every single person here, if you know the Lord Jesus, can I put the principles of living by faith, not by sight, into practice day by day? Am I willing to trust Him for my family, for my wife, for my children, for my grandchildren? Am I willing to trust Him for my job, for my finance? Am I willing to trust Him for that big decision that needs to be made? The testimony of George Muller was, I want to prove, God, that you're a God who hears and a God who answers prayer still today. And the testimony of this church and the building that contains this church, the testimony of this church is that ongoing testimony of a life of faith. Challenge for every single one of us. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Let's pray.